Welcome to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs Postgame Edition. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors, professional and efficient service since 2004, serving the Kingston and surrounding areas. Alongside co-host Craig Pierce and producer Ted Evans, here's your host, Jordan Webster.
We're back on Split the Defense, Leafs postgame. I'm Webby here with CP and producer Ted in the booth. Thumbs up this episode, subscribe to our YouTube, rate us 5 stars, get her going in the comments. This one took no time getting started. 1:39 in. Lots of action in this one. Matthews hit 68. Domi chucking Nux. Camp scored another beauty. The other guys scored a bunch too, though, and Jesper Bratt iced the cake for the Devils. Leafs lose 6-5. What'd you think of this one, CP?
Yeah, this one wasn't very good leading into the playoffs. Defense kind of sucked. The PK kind of sucked, and the goaltending kind of sucked. Those are like the three things you need in the playoffs. So
where do you want to start?
I don't know. I'll give my first star to Matthews just to get it out of the way, because he's at 68 and he's an animal. Actually, honorary mention to John Tavares, because in a 2-goal game for him, and he's just, I think, kind of taking hold of this, you know, defensive shutdown guy, but he's still being able to produce. I mean, it's New Jersey. There's not much to shut down over there, but I mean, unless you're on the PK, that's kind of a different issue, but yeah.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right. So we lose and we're going to go all positive. Let's go positive to start. Let's start with the JT. They were running, they had JT, was it Marner and McMahon, on the warmups, but that was not how the game played out. We had JT with Willie and, Marner for many shifts tonight. What did you think of that? That looked like a bit of a powerhouse in my opinion.
Yeah, a little bit of that was because Domi had to sit out for 17 minutes. So
That's true.
Things got jumbled up then. But I kind of like that as a loaded line, if even like if Domi's in there, because like it kind of leaves alone what Matthews has going. But like the three of those guys, like they didn't quite click right off the hop. Willie kind of has, like, he's struggling at the moment. So but I think I like that versus kind of messing with what Matthews has going, you know?
Yeah. And is Matthews ever going? Matthews has 50 or 51 even strength goals now. I'm not sure if the other one was out of power play, but he has now 68 goals, almost had 69. Very close to it. That would have been amazing. There's like almost no doubt now that Austin Matthews is going to score 70. What do we got? 4 games left? He needs 2 goals? Like, yeah. Oh, come on. Yeah. Oh, it's a done deal.
I mean, I'm going to assume that he sits out probably one of those games, at least. But yeah, I mean, I think it would be weird if he didn't get it now, especially because they're going to be kind of forcing it a little bit. Even Marner, I feel like someone talked to Marner, because like the first couple shifts he had with Matthews, it was just like firing it through traffic for no avail. And I think someone may have told them to, like, dude, like, don't make it so obvious. And then he actually started shooting a little bit, which was nice to see. So yeah, Matthews though, it's he's really got something going with Domi. Like, even when Domi was out, there was this gap of where, you know, not much was happening on that line. And no offense to Marner, but like, they haven't been playing together recently for a while. And I think that, like, Domi, it's just been clicking way better with Domi. Like, I don't know what to say other than that. So
it works. It works really well. Like, and you know, he has a bit of a different element to his game that Mitch just doesn't have. And to have that on the top line, that's doing things, you know, that's not nothing.
Oh yeah. He's bringing a few more elements than Marner is. You know, Marner's an elite playmaker and
absolutely puck the mover.
Yeah, like everything about him is amazing. But yeah, just like when two guys click and you kind of go on runs, it's very obvious, especially when a guy has to sit for them in the middle portion of the game when nothing's happening. So
I got to make a producer note here. You said it yourself, Jordan. You guys are so positive. Get pissed off here. I think the viewers want to hear you guys. What happened with the last goal? Did that anything go on there? Just get pissed off.
Did anything go on?
Jesper Bratt. Okay, so we can go into that. I just want to, my last note on Matthews is he might, even if he sits, he probably only needs one more game because that's his 18th multi-goal game of the season. He could do two goals in a game. Like, it could happen.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the bad stuff, and then we'll get back into some positive to end the show. Jesper Bratt, two daggers, ties the game, and then game-winning goal. Do you have problem with the defense, or do you have problems with the goalie? What's the narrative tonight, CP?
I mean, neither were good. That's the thing. And so, like, the first Gio error, like, you know, I don't blame. I give Gio a kind of a, you know, this leeway because he's not going to be in the playoff lineup.
Yeah, I guess, but that was still brutal.
Games of his career. So I think that was just brutal, though. You know, he comes around the net and basically just puts it on a silver platter. And Sammy definitely was shook early, and it just never went away. And, like, he's not going to be proud of this game. I don't think any – it's just – I'm not sure that, like, I just want to go to Waldo because he had this bad game. Like, the defense hung him out to dry. The PK was horrible. Like, there was a – like, Willie should have gotten in front of a puck. And this is where I'm, like, kind of questioning – like, I know I wanted to have Marner back on the PK, yeah, but like, why not keep Dewar in there? And, like, Willie...
Well...
And I think... Because Dewar was on the top with Kampf, and it was working so well, and now he's not even
Dewar
really doing it.
On the penalty that led to the 4-4 tying goal, it was Holmberg, Dewar, Riley, and Edmondson were the PKers.
Yeah, okay. So I guess he is the fourth one. But, like, the goal before that is Willie's fault, and the one before that, like... kind of Marner's fault. Like, he had a definite chance to get into the lane. And so there you go on all three of the PK lines. Just,
yeah, I mean, the first goal, TJ Brody kicks the puck right onto the stick of Holla. And then you have Gio
rebound by Sammy on that, though. Like, on that, like, Sammy had the puck and he flicks it out of his hands with a stick. And then, like, basically it's in the feet of Brody. And, like, yes, he played it horribly, but, like, that should have been a dead play before that even got that far. So.
Yeah, you'd like that, and we have on the Leafs had goalies like that in the past, but that's just clearly not how it is. So you need your defense to be better at clearing those pucks, and they had the puck. TJ Brody had possession of the puck. He just made a bad decision with it, and he handed that one away. And then Gio, again, he kind of got rushed, and it is what it is. You know, he made a bad decision. He gave a pizza. He gave one away. He just gave one away. So you got two there on the defenseman, but... You're right. I mean, he gave up six. Like, it's not good to give up six.
Oh, no, it's horrible. And, like, Joel Edmondson, too. That's a guy that I considered, like, he should be able to shut down most players in the league. And Jesper Bratt just walks right by him, basically, and, you know, has a free lane to the net. And, you know, it's quite the shot. Like, I'm not sure that's going in, you know, 9 times out of 10. Like, that's probably a 2 out of 10 shot going in. But, you know, it's just that's the guy, the one that I'm the most concerned about. Because, like, Gio's not going to be in the lineup. Brody is, like, questionable whether or not Liljegren's going to be healthy or not. But Edmondson was someone that, like, I was counting on. But, like, it is his first game back. So, like, let's hope he can dial it in. But, and we almost lost him again in, like, the first period with another, block shot off the foot. So I don't know how every defenseman should have those, like, skate guards on. Like, he's not wearing those skate guards. And as a defenseman, that's basically just, you know, jumping in front of pucks all game long. Like, I can't see an argument for having your feet be just like a 1 ounce heavier. Like, it's like, can't be that much of a difference to a guy who, like, doesn't skate amazing anyway. It's not.
Yeah,
like,
he's not exactly fleet of foot and doing pirouettes out there.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree. 100%. I didn't like the defense as a whole, and it, you know, it kind of at the beginning of the game on paper, it was like, okay, this could be our playoff lineup. This could be a thing. And just this game was sloppy from start to finish. The, you know, from 39, was it 18 seconds in or JT scores? And 21 seconds 18. Later, it was a Holla. Yeah, it was Holla scored the first goal for them. So 39 seconds in, you have this wild, crazy game where you just knew they were going to be trading chances, and you just don't want to take that style into the playoffs. You don't want to play like that. You want to start locking things down, and when you start putting these lines on paper, we all get excited about them, but at the end of the day, it comes out, and it's a 6-5 game. You know, we could be crying a different story right now if it was a 3-2 loss, and they lost by whatever. But at 6'5", like you can blame Sammy. He should have had a few of those, but the team itself did not play well.
I mean, offensively, they played pretty decent. Like, if you put up 5 goals, like, that's not a bad night. Especially if they're all 5-on-5. So. But, yeah, it's just, like, from, you know, the center line back, like, that's where all the problems were. So, yeah, I don't know. Do you think that they go with Wall? That would be my one thought. Because, like, this is a pretty bad game from Sammy. Like he said, like, the defense was bad, but, like, they had been going to him about 2 or 3 in a row before going to Wall. So, like, it should be Sammy on Saturday. I kind of feel like they're still going to go to him, but I've already seen that, like, some people are saying, you know, it should be Wall on Saturday.
Yeah, that's a good question. Do you want to put Wall or Samsonov in on Saturday? I don't know why you wouldn't just go Wall. Just give them more time. The playoffs are coming up. There's only a couple games left. You probably are going to need both goalies in the first round. So I'd say you probably just, you know, let them both continue to find their game while these games are basically meaningless.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say is that, like, Sammy had been on a streak of being able to, like, shake his head and kind of get out of the funk. And tonight it was clear that, like, he got rattled early and it lasted. So that's the one part of it that I'm concerned going into the playoffs. But, like, we are fortunate that, like, I don't feel, like, totally helpless with either goalie in. I don't know. I was kind of surprised that they had been going to Sammy so much. I know that Wall hadn't been amazing, but why not go just 50-50 until the playoffs and then, you know, make your decision then? You're like, why do you got to, you know, make Sammy play, you know, 6 of the last 8 games and then have him be like the starting goalie in game 1. So, like, I hope they go with Wall, but it doesn't change, like, whether Sammy is my game 1 goalie. He still is at this point.
Yep. Yeah, I can ride with that opinion. You know, that's still on a razor's edge thin line that he's standing on, because if he has 2 more games like this, he, you know, there's 4 games left in the season. He gets 2 of them. Will gets 2 of them. 2 more games are like this. I'm singing a different tune. I'm going to be saying, you know, maybe we go with Will. What if Will, you know, he posts 2 great games. One of them's a shutout and Sammy lets in 6 for his next 2. Are we going to be sitting here? I know I will. I'm not going to be 100% confident with him as my game 1 starter. Like I said, this would have been a lot better tonight had the team showed up for him. So that way, or maybe even he just made a couple of saves that he should have. And then it would have been a 3-2 game or, you know, a 4-3 game. They could have won a 5-3 game on the Devils. But he wasn't good enough. And that's going to start to put questions back into everybody's head. Is this goaltender good enough to take us through the first round of the playoffs? Is this the guy that you want to start with? Yeah, I mean, probably. But you probably would rather bring Wall back as your second guy in, but, like, he could easily steal that net at this point still.
Oh, definitely. I think in almost all tandem goalie situations, like, if any one of them has 3 bad games in your last 6 games of the season, like, you're going to go with the guy, especially the other guy, especially if he's had, like, some decent performances. Like, we're not in a true starter backup situation, so I think, like, all bets are off until you see, like, you know, their last performances leading up, and then you can kind of make an account. That's why I just, like, to go with Sammy so early, I thought was questionable, even though I thought he was the starter at that point. Like you said, he was razor edge. I think it's a little bit, you know, more of a, you know, we got, like, a, you know, cardboard.
He's had a couple of bad games
moment.
In his couple of last games. You know, he's had maybe in his last 5 games, 2 of them I haven't loved. And he has had good games, so the majority of them have been good, but he is still showing glimpses of that guy, and we're getting to the time where the pressure comes. And what if he gets scored on 39 seconds into the playoffs? Is that it for Sammy? He melts down, and, like, right. That's what I'm saying. So you got to see how he responds. He's responded well in the past, so if he comes back and he plays a couple of gems of games, then I can see us and the coaching staff and all of Leaf Nation getting behind, putting Ilya Samsonov in net for game 1. as we've pretty much shouted for the last month and a half, 2 months, maybe. Jeez, it's been a long time. He's played well since like January. So
yeah, it's hard to just
take it away from him, but you can't, people don't forget he was not good at the beginning of the season. Remember, he spent time in the AHL this season. He didn't play a game. He was on a conditioning stint, but that was this season. So it is still, for me, razor's edge thin. I wouldn't call it a cardboard edge. I'd say one more bad game and I'm right back to going, I don't know who plays.
The only thing is that Wall hasn't been like outstanding. You know, he has been building a little bit, like very, very slowly, but not hot out of the gate. It's coming back from injury. So I think if he was playing like outstanding, like it would be a no question. We'd switch it right now just because of the past of Sammy. Like, you know, like you said, we don't forget, you know, he's been playing amazing, but he's had streaks in his past before of, you know, kind of choking. You know, it is there. So
it's there. And people don't forget.
Nope. Yeah.
All right. Well, I hate to break it to you, but this was a pretty good game for the Leafs offensively. There's a lot to talk about that's positive, and I'd like to get into some of that. Max Domi sure had a response on the Nemechek on Matthews. It didn't look like much of a fight, more like a whooping, just for being bad. Nemechek, you're bad. Domi's given the instigator penalty, 17 total penalty minutes. Is it worth it?
I don't know. That one was like borderline assault. Just like basically, I couldn't believe that who was the guy that he attacked?
Nemec. He's just a child.
Nemec. Yeah. And like, I couldn't believe that he had his gloves off.
I was thinking that too. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. Me
too. Because that could have been bad.
Yeah. It could have been very bad. And that's like one where like, I think that's like so much worse than like what Riley got, you know, suspended so long for. But Domi is a veteran of this type of game, and yeah, he knows how to do it. And somehow he got the gloves off the other guy. I'm not sure if he took them off. To me, it was a bit of like a dust cloud until like there was contact. But yeah, that was unreal. Like the group chat was just like going off about Domi this, Domi that. How is this guy going to be on our team for the next so many years? You know, contract talks going on mid game.
He's got it. They've got it.
Oh yeah. There's like few guys who just can realize the situation that they're in and the market that they're in. And like, he just gets it, you know, like he just does absolutely everything to win and does and says all the right things to win over this market. And like, you know, walk through Toronto or all of Ontario, and like, I bet you can't find someone that doesn't love Domi.
Yeah, Max Domi, hell of a character. I mean, from the Instagram post to sticking up for his teammates on the ice, the guy's absolutely contributing to the vibes of this team and Leafs Nation. And he is probably, you know, like Matthews is probably the favorite. I think this was brought up on Twitter earlier as a topic, but Matthews is probably the favorite, but who's second? It's gotta be Domi right now.
Yeah, it's gotta be Domi. I know that like a lot of the young fans, you know, they love Marner. So like there are a lot of Marner fans that are under 20 out there. So like that would probably be close, but Domi's like, he's just, I like, yeah, like I said, like try and find someone that doesn't love him. Yeah,
it's true.
It'd be tough to find. So
that's exactly true. I mean, you got your McMahon lovers and you got, you know, you guys that we love like that. And then you got guys that love Nylander and then guys that hate Nylander and Marner. And I think it's pretty unanimous that Max Domi's fucking dope.
Yeah, like, he's amazing.
He's exactly the breath of fresh air that this team needed. And yeah, sticking up for Matthews, like, that's huge. You know, it's bigger than you think. Like, so sick of playing or watching a team play that is just a bunch of pansies that won't stick up for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, pushovers. Right? Like they will not do anything for themselves. They rely on one tough guy to come out and clean up the mess when maybe sometime, but it never happened. And now it just seems to be like the whole vibe is just brought back and it's just from a couple of players. One of them being the guy, Max Domi, and playing on that top line. Like I said, it's so much more impactful to be able to go and irritate and instigate the other team's stars and the other team's best defensemen. Like, Simo Nemec should not have been in that position. He should have never been in that position. But because he wouldn't have played against the third line most of the time, probably. That's where Max Domi lives, but now they've turned him into the ultimate role player next to Matthews. And he's just like, he's basically a pitching machine. It's like the hockey version of a pitching machine. He just like feeds pucks to Matthews. That's just his job. Like that's what he does. And he's got that element that'll come and punch you in the face if you fuck around with any of the stars. So like, absolutely. There's nothing about that guy to like, honestly, his defensive game, do you want to bring that up? It's not even that bad. Like he's been great.
It's been good. Like he's not a huge liability.
I said not that bad.
Yeah. I mean, then you said great, I think, though.
He's been great.
Okay.
Overall, he's been great.
Yeah. Overall, he has been great. The one thing that I'll just say is like he's got to just pick his spots a little bit better than he did today, because like, you know, Matthews was kind of being the one of like the aggressor. And I was kind of just like, oh, nice. Like Matthews kind of, you know, not taking any. And so like, I wouldn't want like you asked me originally, was it worth it? And like, not if a game actually matters. Like, I don't think I want him to do that just for something so little. But it's a message sent that I don't mind.
It's a meaningless game.
A meaningless game, I think it's fine. You know, who cares? But yeah, just playoffs. And he's smart. Like I said, he's one of those guys that gets it. So I'm not worried about it. I'm just like, that wasn't a playoff situation to do this. But in game 78 or 77, that was, yeah, perfect. You know, who cares?
That was a great message to say, don't fuck with us. And I loved it.
Yeah.
So David Camp scored another highlight goal. I love how this guy always pulls off the most beautiful goals. I just wish he was a little more offensive minded. It's his eighth goal of the year. He's averaging 13 minutes and 28 seconds per game. That's more than Nick Robertson. He had a goal called back tonight, right?
Nick Robertson, yeah.
Yeah. And so that would have been his third goal in four games. And he's got less ice time than David Kampf. David Kampf, his fancy stats are just brutal. And he's playing on the fourth line. And it's been his worst year as a Leaf by far. His PDO is down, which is a luck measuring stat where you take the shooting percentage and the save percentage, something like divide and then carry the one. And I don't know. They told me there wouldn't be math. Anyways, his PDO has been down for the last 2 years, but it's been the same as this year as it was last year. So it's really not puck luck. It's not like I don't know why David Camp's just having a really bad year this year.
Yeah, it's tough to say. It's funny that, like, if you watched his highlight reel of his career, like, you'd think this guy, like, scores 30 a year. And, but it's just like, no, like, there's only 30 of those total in his career, you know? It's just like, well, wow. Like, he doesn't get any lucky goals. Like, you know, there's not just one that he just shuffles in. It's like, no, he's got to go backhand, forehand, or something, you know? it's funny. But, yeah, I don't know.
Backhand, forehand, roof job.
Yeah, it's been tough for him. Like, I still think that he's just miscast. And, you know, when he plays with, like, someone like Ryan Reeves, who just was struggling for so long, you know, David Camp's numbers were just, like, horribly in the toilet at the beginning of the year just because of that. And, like, between the two of them, their puck luck was just, like, down in the dumpsters. So I think he's gotten a bit better. He's still not like a guy that I super rely on just to be a shutdown like we used to, but I still think that like he's a guy in the playoffs that does simple things, and like I'm not gonna be worried about throwing him out there. And it's just who's his team, his line mate's gonna be. I think that's a big part of this. And if we're rolling out a Ryan Reeves line, like, you know, there's got to be a lot of crash and bang, and you know, he's okay at that, but it's not necessarily his forte. He's a shutdown guy. Like, he wants to be, you know, the first forward back. And, you know,
it's a bit of a segue. We can go from there. What did you think of Knies on the fourth line?
I think the lower you put Knies, the better he gets. Like, he can play a fourth line role. He's physical. He almost like embraces, you know, that he's supposed to be physical down there. And like, you can tell that his talent and his stick handling's just at a higher level than everyone else. So I think he'll get more used to it and more comfortable, but I don't know. Like, I don't want to be pushing him up the lineup, because third and fourth line Knies is much better than first line Knies.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I could rock with a third line or a fourth line. Nice. I was liking him down there tonight. I like it that that you can clearly tell that he can play better than this competition, that he's more comfortable, whether he is better or he's just more comfortable to make the moves that he is, and he's doing less deferring because he's not playing with players that are so good. But he really noticed Matthew Nyes on the ice more than you did with Matthews and Marner, and more than you did with Tavares and Nylander. And it seems to be working out. I think Nyes, Kampf, and Dewar fourth line could really be something that you play. They don't have to play 6 minutes in the playoffs. Like Sheldon Keefe can roll four. Like at that point, if you can trust your third line, then you can roll four. So
yeah. I like that line. I think we're gonna see a lot of fourth line, you know, arrangements. You know, like I wouldn't be shocked if we see a Robertson fourth line just based on how he's trying to like push for a spot. You know,
that guy just scores. He does nothing but scores. So
he was on a line with Willie, and he's the guy that's driving offense. And like that's the part that's starting to really impress me. Where yes, and there was a play tonight where he like makes a really nice block on a shot, like gathers his own rebound, and whoop, off he goes down the ice.
He's good at that.
Yeah, and so the more and more he does that, the more I'll be okay with him being on. But you still see, like, his minute, like, in tonight's game, his minutes must be, like, not over 10, you know? Like, but yeah. It is what it is. For a third line, that's kind of tough, and it's kind of your fourth line. So
kind of.
Yeah, I think, though, like you said in the past, like, you know, if it's not about, you know, this playoffs, like, it's at least a good sign for next year. Where like we can see more of them. So like that's what I'm getting excited about for Robertson. Like the more and more I see him, you know, if you need him in game 3, 4, you know, 7, whatever it is, that's great. But I'm just like, for the first time ever, I think that his value is kind of, you know, looking at where it was a couple years ago, now that he can actually play over 50 games in a season. And if he gets another, you know, 50 to 80 in next year, then like this is a guy we'll say that like we were happy we didn't trade away.
You know, he had a bunch of struggles because he obviously went through injuries and he has all these expectations of himself. And
have you looked at his Hockey DB page? It's like 12 games, like 13 games the next season. Like, yeah. Oh, he had 25. Like that was a big year for him. Yeah, like it's crazy.
He's had a really rough go, and he said he was interviewed by Sportsnet, I believe, somebody on Sportsnet, and he said that he found God. And I'm not shitting you, and we don't need to get too deep into it, but he did. He found God. He said his girlfriend or his wife is a Christian, and he reached out to somebody on Josiah Slavin on the Marlies when he was down in the Marlies. And he really just kind of found himself, and that's what he needed to do. You can tell that he carries himself differently this year. He seems more mature, and I think that's because he's more at peace with who he is and where he is in life and how things are going to work out, right? And basically the gist of the interview was like that at this point he just goes out every single day and he just tries to work hard, and he's not going to be butthurt whether he's in or out of the lineup. So I think it's fine to not have him in the lineup to start and to bring him in and out, as I thought before. But, you know, after reading this, like, he is like a secret weapon you can bust out. And Callie Yarncroke was on the ice this morning. So he'll be back in the lineup, too. And you know Callie Yarncroke's a slot in for the playoffs. You're healthy, you're in. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Even if he hasn't played a game, I think that they'll just toss him in whenever they
100%.
Can. 100%. Yeah. He's kind of like Kamp, where he's, like, overvalued by Keefe. So even though, like, I think Yarncroke's a great player and everything, it's just... They value him, I think, a little higher than like what his act, like he's scored 20 once, you know, and I think they value him like he's a shutdown that scores like 25 to 30. But, you know, I do like him, though. It is. But yeah. Robertson, though, versus Yarncroke, like do those, like, I know that Yarncroke provides like more of a defensive aspect, but there's no question that if we're lacking offense,
he could potentially be pulled. Yeah, we've already had this conversation, and I'm totally on that boat with you. I'm driving that ship, actually.
Yeah,
like,
you are. Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree with that. If you need somebody to come out, Callie Yarncroke is too... He doesn't have a good playoff record, right? He doesn't
see it.
But I think somebody pointed out he has 3 playoff goals or something like that. Like, whew, you guys 30 years old.
Yeah.
Right? Nick Robertson could have 3 playoff goals this year. He's just that offensively talented. So if you need a goal, which is what the Leafs have lacked, you could see potentially him coming out. But I think there's other guys you take out first. I think if you need a goal, I think you take out a Holmberg first, because Yarncroke is better than Holmberg at what he does, right? So you could always reposition and figure that out. But you're like, oh, who's going to play center? I don't know, man. They'll figure that out.
Okay. Okay. Stop it. You're right.
But who's going to play center? I know. Yeah. But yeah. I still think that would be how it happens.
Also,
even Nyes. I think Nyes comes out of the lineup potentially if they need a goal and he's not providing. You know,
no, I think like you need fourth line Nyes is way better than both of them. I think I love fourth line. Like, that's his new nickname. If he can be down there, like, I love that more than I know. I was just preaching for Robertson, but not over what I see from Nyes. So,
yeah, fair enough. Yeah. All right. Well, Leafs Red Wings Saturday. What do you expect from that game?
I honestly, the only thing I care about is 2 goals from Matthews. So, like, let's get her done. Okay. Get it done on Saturday.
Get it done.
And then we can, you know, sit the rest if you want to. But I actually hope that he does play, you know, like if he played every game this season, that would be awesome, because I think he's on a roll and just anything. I don't want to screw up anything to do with a goal scorer who's on a, you know, a run.
I know. I know. It's common for the most teams to sit their stars, but I'd like to go and look how many teams actually sit their star. Connor McDavid's sitting right now. I don't know how hurt he actually is, because there's a lot of speculation about that.
Well, but he also got injured in the very last game of the season. Like, was it 2 years last year? No, 2 or 3 years ago. But like, he's a guy that's fell victim to playing every game. So I wouldn't be shocked if like this injury that he's dealing with isn't actually that bad. And it's kind of one of these, you know, management.
Maybe we'll just, we'll just hang around for a bit. Now, yeah, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt you see a few of the stars sit. Like, I wonder who doesn't play on Saturday night even. Like, do you think maybe we get a game off for JT? Or, like, you know, like, Marner's not going to sit.
No. He's
got a lot of time off. And, like, Riley's had a bunch of time off this year, so he's probably not going to sit. And then you're going to want to sit Matthews. And, like, Nylander, I don't know. Like, do you sit Nylander? Has Nylander ever sat?
I don't know, but he's also not playing that well, so I would maybe sit him early so that, you know, you can get him going for a few, like, maybe he needs a rest, you know, give him a day off, and then he can ramp up, because he was kind of struggling, like, a couple of games before Marner came back, and now Marner coming back has pushed him down the lineup and had him kind of jumping around different lines, so I think there's a little bit more to the Nylander thing, because he's not quite going like, you know, Tavares right now. I think his legs are going better than they have in the last 2 years. So, like, I don't know. Is like, you got to ask him, are you a guy that likes rest, or, you know, are you like Mark Giordano that just don't wants to be on the bike all day regardless?
And I guess that's fair. But at the same time, it's like, yes, but also no. It's like, what you think is good for you is not always what's the best for you. So maybe you should just do what the sports doctors studied to do. I don't know. At the end of the day, they pay these guys a lot of money and they do listen to them. So people are going to sit for reasons like that. Gio is not in the playoff lineup, but he is also a special exception. He's 40 years old.
Yeah, but like
that guy's going to tell you what he needs. He's 40 years old. There's nobody. You'd probably, like, you could have 2 people in there and they're just barely combined older than Gio.
I mean, Tavares isn't like miles behind him. He's
no, I'm saying, like, so why don't we add Nyes and you add Nyes and Robertson's age and they're just barely older than Gio.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, guys that need to sit, and like a 26-year-old Austin Matthews or 27-year-old William Nylander, 28-year-old William Nylander, guys are getting old. And anyways, those guys, if they need to be told if they need to sit, then they're going to, because these sports doctors do in fact know what's best for them.
I don't know. I don't like always believe in the, you know, hocus pocus of stats and science. I'm kind of kidding.
I don't believe in science.
I do believe though that like confidence and is probably more important than all of that stuff. And so if the like,
yeah, you can Austin be confidently Matthews, wrong.
No, I'm talking about confidence in playing. you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I just think that it's probably, you're right. The whole Connor McDavid thing, you know, could get injured in the last game. It's probably better to have more rest than less. And it might take a second to ramp up, but it's probably better in the long run on jumping into a longer schedule to be able to have, you know, a 5 or 6 day break if they might get that in there before that they have to jump into these playoff games, because then it's going to be every other night for 2 months.
Yeah, I just like wouldn't want to get caught into a team that like comes out sluggish because they sat too much. So like I would believe more in one game asking them what they think needs is better. No. But
yeah, one game's not too much. But something I see they do with Nate with the Avs, like he goes out, snipes a Hattie, and then just like sits on the bench most of the rest of the game, chills, drinking that BioSteel, chatting to the boys.
Yeah,
you know? You don't need 15 minutes. And
yeah, he's like, whatever. I don't need to. Yeah, we're good now.
Yeah, we're good now. That's something that like Keith was supposed to be doing and was trying to be doing like 4 or 5 games ago. But like always, he gets caught in trying to win games. And so to not play Matthews, you know, to the maximum in the third period is just not in his blood. Keith just rolls him out there.
Yep, absolutely. And hopefully he keeps rolling him out there. And he gets up to 70 here on the weekend against Detroit. But for now, we'll wrap it up. We're Split the Defense, Leafs post game. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for commenting. Hit that like button. Subscribe on YouTube. Please rate and review the show if you have the time. You can tell us we're shitty too. We love that. Find us on X at STDP Hockey and search for Split the Defense on all other socials. Until next time, peace.
Nathan MacKinnon for MVP.
Thanks for tuning in to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs postgame edition. Hosted by Jordan Webster, Craig Pierce, and producer Ted Evans. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors. Professional and efficient service since 2004. Serving the Kingston and surrounding areas.